Let's talk about one of your chapters, which is weird. And that chapter is Beasts from the Mind. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, going through sort of London folklore, any folklore, you know, whether you're, you know, I've written stuff about sort of, you know, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and you always find that when you get reports of strange creatures, there's always a select few that just don't fit into any type of sort of category. They're not from the woods, although people see them in the woods. It doesn't necessarily mean they're actually there. It's kind of as if, you know, you're driving along a road one night and this huge winged creature with glowing eyes resembling a man flies out in front of you, and suddenly you realise these are what we always call zoo forms, and these are clearly things that people see, like ghosts, but they just can't exist in a scientific level, as in the woods or a biological or zoological level. So whether they're demonic, I'm not so sure, but these things seem to go back for absolutely centuries. And I was amazed with London that people have seen things such as hellhounds and these spectral sort of demonic things and ghostly sort of animals. And these are not just your average, you know, supernatural things. These are stuff that even ghost hunters tend to not even talk about.
Let's get into some of the other weird ones, too. Demonic entities. Some people have talked about that.
Yeah, well, there's a report going back to sort of, I think it's about 1645 from London, about this strange horned creature that was prowling around Whitechapel. Now, Whitechapel, of course, is where Jack the Ripper plied his grisly trade during sort of the 19th century Victorian London. But this creature was several centuries before, and it was said to resemble a human, but it had huge horns on its head, and the market traders tried attacking it with their meat cleavers and knives, but their weapons used to just glide through it, and it allegedly attacked a woman. And it just doesn't really make sense, these type of things, and yet London is sort of littered with these type of stories that go back a long, long way. These clearly aren't flesh and blood creatures. But whether they're demonic, I'm not sure. Maybe if they appear to have horns, then we have to class them as evil.
Interesting stuff. Really is. What is the phantom chicken?
Well, there was a few stories I wanted to put in the book which were absolutely hilarious. But bizarrely, there is a story from an area in North London called Highgate. Now, Highgate is a lovely sort of kind of village, very sort of antiquarian. But this story from the actual phantom chicken seems to have some type of truth to it. It goes back to sort of the early 1600s, and it concerns Sir Francis Bacon, who was a philosopher. And it was alleged that he was travelling with a friend at the time, a physician. And during their journey, they were discussing refrigeration. Basically, to prove his point, Francis Bacon allegedly grabbed a chicken or purchased a hen from nearby, stuffed it with snow, and kind of proved they could preserve stuff by freezing it. But ever since then, allegedly, around this very small village square, this quaint village square, there's been reports of this phantom chicken, or which most people call, which I think is rather hilarious, the poultrygeist.
I love that.
But it's been seen sort of up until the mid-1940s. But it's just one of those weird stories that's not nasty or nothing. It's just quite quirky, but it's very funny.
The phantom roar.
Yeah, that's very recent. That is it's a couple that moved into a house, very built up area. And every time they fed their domestic cat at a certain time of the evening, a terrifying roar would sort of emanate along the hallway. And at first they thought it was someone playing a joke. And then the more this happened, the domestic cat started freaking out, and they believed that maybe there was some type of spectral type of tiger or lion somewhere. And again, you find with London, because of all the old menageries that used to be taking place, maybe we do still have ghosts of these types of animals still lurking around the streets. But of course, if you see one, you're probably not really going to report it because of fear of ridicule. But if something starts turning up in your flat, and this was going on a long time, people were hearing this roaring, and even they had friends around for dinner, and people were hearing this roar coming sort of from the hallway. And eventually they actually moved out because they were so freaked out by this spectral roar. Very weird.
You talk about stories of flying snakes, Neil. What do? They jump?
No, this seems to be, again, a spectral type of thing. There's reports from really old, if you go through some of the really old newspaper archives, it's amazing what you unearth. And sometimes it's more exciting than actually finding an actual creature or a modern story. I prefer the old stories. They've got a type of antiquarian atmosphere. Now, of course, some of these may have been exaggerated, but there are reports dating back to the 1600s, 1700s, mentioned in local London newspapers, of these strange, long, slithering type of creatures with wings that could only sort of fly around sort of head height of a person. And they'd always appear around the time of thunderstorms. Now, these weren't just your average snakes, of course, but there are legends in cryptozoological sort of legend that there are flying snakes in places such as Africa and Asia. But in London, this just seems a little bit bizarre. But what were people seeing? It doesn't seem to make sense.
Are most of these creatures known to science?
No, that's why I've basically done the book. You kind of can go through newspaper archives and lose yourself in these archives for months and years on end, and eventually you might find bizarre stories that you realise have not been mentioned anywhere else unless they were just mentioned once in this newspaper report. And there's nothing better than looking into it and finding out if there was some type of truth. And I'd say 80% of the actual book's never been published before, so certainly science isn't going to know about hardly any of these stories in the book.
And, of course, what's the story behind Neil Arnold and the Highgate Vampire?
This is very controversial. The book, if anybody is interested, has got loads of photographs in it, and I've also got a personal illustrator who's kind of painted me as this kind of Victorian mixed with 1960s-style dandy because of the style of music and haircut I tend to have, because I'm very into sort of like the Beatles and stuff like that. But I basically, in London, there is a place called Highgate. It's a very old village, but in this village there is a cemetery which is divided into two parts. And bizarrely, in the 1960s, there was an actual report of what we call a vampire. Now, this is as in, you know, vampires really should be the stuff of legend, mainly born from sort of Vlad Dracula in Transylvania, and then, of course, Christopher Lee and the old Hammer films, right up until the stuff to do with Twilight with Robert Pattinson. But this thing in the 1960s was a black figure that was draining the energy of passers-by. And it ended up so sort of heavily covered by the local press that it took on a huge craze for sort of around 4 to 5 years in swinging London, and it's never been solved ever since, so I decided I would try and look into it. But it did come with its dangers as well, because a few of the people involved were more scary than the vampire. But it's
really?
A very intriguing story. Yeah, you tend to find that some of these kind of stories attract strange people. Some people try and claim it as their own. Some people are sort of not all they're cracked up to be. Some are a bit strange. But this Highgate Vampire, if anybody's ever been to Highgate Cemetery in London, I recommend it, because it does look like a Hammer Horror film set.
Have you ever been in a strange situation, Neil, where you thought that you could be in danger?
Many times. I've been threatened by devil worshippers. I've been shot at. I've seen a black leopard within about 20 feet in a field in the UK, which was stalking sheep. So I've had a few things happen. I do meet a lot of strange people, like I say, but being shot at and threatened by devil worshippers was probably the... They seem funny now. They make great stories now, but at the time, they was a little bit sort of hairy.
Just because you're an investigator?
Yeah, I think some investigators, or most investigators, are happy to kind of sit behind a computer and just write what they think. But I think there's nothing better than going out actually into the field and investigating areas. And over the years, I've been lucky to have seen so-called big cats in the UK. I've seen a black leopard 3 times. We managed to film a lynx a few years ago. But I love going to areas that maybe most people shouldn't or are not brave enough to go. And, of course, you never know what you're going to turn out, especially when you're dealing with almost supernatural type of stuff. Ghost hunting nowadays is a very popular thing, but it's when you're going out looking for more sinister stuff, it does get a bit freaky sometimes.